You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. All right, now just sit back. This is a mystery story. This is a great yarn. And if you're a viewer of BBC America's World News America, you can see the story unfold on television tonight. But joining us in the studio is Gordon Correa, who's a BBC security correspondent there in London, just back from Greenland. Gordon, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
And what we want to discuss with you is this fantastic story about what happened a long time ago in Greenland when some Strategic Air Command bombers lost control of their aircraft in the course of a very important mission involved in the Cold War. And the consequences were fairly significant to the people of Greenland. Describe what happened long ago.
Well, this was back in 1968, and it all happened around a U.S. military base still there at a place called Thule in the northwest of Greenland, which houses a very important radar looking for missiles coming over the North Pole. And at that time, Strategic Air Command feared that the first thing the Soviet Union would do if it was going to launch a nuclear attack on the U.S. would be to take out this radar. So they actually flew nuclear-armed B-52s constantly over the base, watching it visually and ready to fly on to Moscow, to Russia, should it be attacked, and to drop their bombs. And these were called Chrome Dome missions and took place during much of the 1960s. And during one of these missions in January 1968, things went pretty seriously wrong with a fire on board the plane.
Well, in the course of unraveling this story, Gordon Correa, you went back and talked to the people who were actually in the plane. And even though the crash was known, a lot of the details weren't known. Describe how you went back and sort of pieced things together.
Well, that's right, because the plane crashed onto the ice carrying four nuclear weapons. And it was always a bit mysterious exactly what happened then. There was a huge cleanup operation which went on for months to try and recover all the parts. But there were consistently rumours that actually not all of the nuclear weapons were recovered. Now, through a Freedom of Information Act request to the US government, we got hold of thousands of pages of documents. But we also talked to some of the officials at places like Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory who were working on the clear-up at the time. And slowly, this amazing picture emerged of how during the cleanup, people realised that actually they'd only got back three of the weapon parts and that a fourth weapon appeared to have melted through the ice when the high explosive detonated and then sank into the sea below. There was then this amazing submarine search. They sent a Star 3 submarine into the bay during the summer to try and recover the parts. But as winter closed in, they realised they weren't able to find it. And we spoke to some of the people involved in the decision making who told us basically they took a decision to abandon that nuclear weapon in the bay under the ice because they thought, firstly, that if they couldn't get it back, no one else would be able to, and secondly, because they thought it would be safe to leave it there environmentally. So it was secretly left underneath the ice. I mean, the official line has always been that these bombs were destroyed or they were accounted for.
Exactly.
But that's quite different from saying they were recovered.
And in fact, the words of some of those officials that you talked to, here's William Chambers, who's from Los Alamos, who talks about that decision and what it felt like to make it.
There was disappointment in what you might call a failure to return all of the components, but in the end you go on with the next problem, and it would be very difficult for anybody else to recover classified pieces if we couldn't find them. So I think one ends up saying, well, we've reached the limit of what we can afford to expend on this particular one, and we'll walk away from it.
Gordon Correa, yikes. I mean, it's like, well, we can't find the nukes.
Yep,
the
we'll just leave it down there.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, it's kind of strange, but I guess the thinking was, well, this is in one of the most obscure places in the world, in a really remote region. So it would be pretty difficult for the Russians or for someone else to launch their own search. But it's still an amazing thing to do, because this was a highly classified device.
Sure.
The design of it was very important and very sensitive. Even the amount of uranium and plutonium in it and the shape of it was highly sensitive and highly classified. And basically, it was left down there. And also, I mean, the Danish government, who actually own Greenland, it's their province, if you like, weren't told the reasons of the
wow.
search were kept secret from them. They were told, we're just doing a survey of the bottom of the sea. They weren't told it was actually a search going on for the weapon with the submarine.
Wow. Well, I want to give people a sense of the fear in the minds of the pilots who were on that plane when it went down. Here are the voices of John Hogg and Joe DeMero, who you tracked down and interviewed for this broadcast.
We were probably 6 hours, a little over 6 hours in the mission when things started to deteriorate.
A fire started in the cockpit that just wasn't controllable.
We knew that we had very little time to get to Thule.
First and only time in my life I've ever said mayday.
And I leaned up and looked out the window shield. I couldn't see the lights, and I says, okay, we're over Thule. Crew bail out, and at that point I heard bang, 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 and that was four of the crew members using their ejection seat.
So I heard just bang, 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 you know, and I said, what is that? He said, that's the rest of the crew bailing out. Get out of here.
Get out of here, Bronto.
Sounds like an extraordinary moment. Just to back up, Gordon, what were they doing flying over Greenland with four nukes aboard?
Well, it was this fascinating time at the height of the Cold War when there really was a genuine fear that a Soviet nuclear attack could come at any moment. And so these missions were flown not just over Thule, there was also one over the Mediterranean with nukes already on board and with the pilots just waiting for the command, the authorization codes to go and drop their weapons over the Soviet Union. And they were constantly there on 24-hour missions, planes going back and forth, ready to attack, and Thule was believed to be one of the targets. And so they thought if they saw it, they could get over the North Pole, which of course is pretty much the quickest way to what was then the Soviet Union.
Reminds you
from Greenland
of all that old Cold War nomenclature. Thule, there's the White Alice system, all these sort of early warning systems. It's a great jaunt down a kind of disturbing set of memories from a period that's gone now. Where do you think that nuke is now? Before we go,
well, the experts I've spoken to believe that it decayed on the sea bottom and the radioactive material dispersed into the seawater. And there's a lot of debate about what that means. A lot of scientists, Danish scientists, American scientists, believe, well, if that happened, then actually it's safe in such a large body of water. But I went up to communities on the coast who said they found things like seals with their insides dried out, which they believe are the product of radioactive contamination. Also, people who were involved in the cleanup believe they were contaminated by the radioactive material. So the legacy of that crash, even though it was 40 years ago, is very much still there with people who are involved and with the communities in the region.
Well, Gordon Carrera, you got to the bottom of the sea, but not to the absolute bottom of the mystery. A fantastic story. Congratulations and thanks so much.
You.
Gordon Carrera is a BBC security correspondent speaking to us from London about a story of a missing nuke in Greenland from the 1960s.